Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacific of sport. So let's not waste any time and get out the gates and get to what's coming up on the show. You'll meet the captain of the Papua New Guinea's women's national team in football. You'll meet the captain of Papua New Guinea's women's national team in football, Ramona Padillo.
PNG women's national team has been winning gold for South Pacific Games, and I was part of the team in 2015, 2019, and 2023, and we are looking for making more history.
You'll also meet Kevin Olea, the president of Honiara Table Tennis.
It's very important to provide safe and convenient space in events for our women, young girls and persons with disability. We have a story to tell why table tennis, why we give to gain through sports such as table tennis. We are here to give and gain through sports.
And do we have some breaking news on here? The new coach of the PNG Chiefs NRL team. Is that breaking news? Stay tuned and you'll find out. But to do all this, I do need some help. Every week, I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. And this week, we have Patricia Kiama from PNG, as well as Cynthia Setter from the Solomon Islands. Ladies, welcome.
Hello. I'm happy to do this.
Patricia, I know that you've been stuck in Port Moresby traffic a fair bit. Has it eased off at all over there?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to say that I'm actually taking a bit of break from Port Moresby's traffic. I'm actually in Fiji right now.
Oh, you're in Fiji?
Yes. I'm here for the FIFA Women's World Cup qualifier that Fiji's hosting. We'll talk about that more later in the show, but the weather here is really nice. I love the cold and it's been raining, so.
Cold over there? There's no chance it's cold over there. But Cynthia, tell me, are you in Fiji as well?
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm still here, yes. In Honiara.
Oh, well, that's not a bad place to be as well, but how good's that? Let's get to what's coming up on the show.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to get to the big bowl. The big bowl is where we come together, we take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back, fill your cup as myself, Patricia and Cynthia run through the must-know sports news in the region.
The big bowl.
Ah, how good. Beautiful music. I feel like going to sleep every time I hear that sting. But Patricia, we're going to start with you, and we're going big. Of course, it is the big bowl, so we need to go big. And it's the World Game, to be more specific. Talk us through the FIFA Women's World Cup qualifiers that is coming up.
Yeah, Sam, I think I let it slip a little in the intro.
That's all good. Tease. We're going to do just a little tease.
Yeah, so... Well, the FIFA Women's World Cup Oceania qualifiers is about to start. So Fiji and Solomon Islands are hosting the two group fixtures. So Solomon Islands is hosting Group A of the qualifiers, while here in Fiji, well, Group B action is happening. So I'm here in Nandi with the PNG Women's Football Team, and they are competing in Pool B with the host nation, Fiji, of course, alongside Vanuatu and New Caledonia, while in Solomon Islands, Solomon Islands actually has an interesting group that I wish I could see the action happening there. But, well, that's for Cynthia to see and tell us more about it later. But you have American Samoa, New Zealand, as well as the home side, Solomon Islands, and Samoa, of course, in that group. So it's going to be an interesting week. All the action starts tomorrow. The first matches here in Fiji, we'll see what Papua New Guinea is playing the opener for this group here. The matches here in Fiji will be played in Bar in Govin Park. So I haven't been there yet, so I'm excited to see what the pitch looks like. But a lot is at stake for this tournament now. The name itself says FIFA Women's World Cup qualifiers. So obviously, these eight nations in the Oceania region are vying for one spot. Now, this time around, the winner of this tournament gets to qualify for the FIFA Women's World Cup 2027.
So there's only one spot up for grabs here. So the winner, if you win this tournament, you're going straight through to the FIFA World Cup in Brazil.
Yes. So the winner of this tournament, so now after the group stages here in Fiji and in Solomon Islands, the top two team that finishes, well, the top two finishers of Pool A and Pool B will go to New Zealand in April, I believe, to play in the finals round. And the winner of the finals will get a direct ticket into the World Cup next year. But here's the catch. There's another chance for one more team from the region to get into the World Cup, because whoever loses in the final, see, the winner gets to go directly to the World Cup, but the runner-up for the tournament gets a second chance. So that team, whoever it is, has a chance to play in what they call the Intercontinental Playoff. And they play with, I think, nine other nations for another chance to get into the World Cup. So I think back in 2023, Papua New Guinea were in that situation after winning the OFC Women's Nations Cup in 2022. The team went on to play in the Intercontinental Playoff in 2023, where unfortunately they lost to Panama, and Panama went on to the World Cup. So having come this close to getting that other sport into the World Cup, now, Papua New Guinea, including the other seven Oceania nations, will be vying for that chance for not only a direct entry, but a second chance to get into the World Cup.
Man, obviously some exciting times ahead, and a lot of nerves as well, I've got no doubt, from the women trying to qualify for obviously the biggest tournament in the world. And Cynthia, the Solomon Islands, I saw that, that they named a 23-player squad just a couple of days ago. You know, how are they feeling going into this tournament?
You know, it's been a great opportunity for these ladies to represent Solomon Islands in this competition. But at the same time, the fans here in Solomon Islands, you know, they're asking if the team are ready. And of course, with the recent announcement done, the senior women's national football squad, which really looks good with the lineup they currently put out from Solomon Islands Football Federation. And I believe that they're confident, they're ready, and they're looking forward so much for meeting the other team, other Pacific nation, in the match that will be coming up in this competition, which is very important and crucial for the ladies around the Pacific and Solomon Islands as well.
Cynthia, I remember last year that the Solomon Islands team went to Australia and they played against, I think it was the Young Matildas, I believe so. Is that correct? Was it last year? And Ilan Pengi was talking about, you know, the speed of how they were playing, and it was a very good lesson in how to prepare and perform against the bigger nations. So do you feel like that preparation has helped them get ready for this one?
Definitely, definitely. With their competition last year, you know, it was really tough for them. But like Peggy said, that it was really a lesson for them. And I believe that with that preparation, they've gained that confidence, and they've improved where they needed, and they've worked on their weaknesses. And I believe that they're very much prepared to represent Solomon Islands in this tough competition, yes.
Yes, very tough competition. And before we move over to the OFC, who are the favourites for this one? Who are the favourites there in Fiji? We'll go with you first, Patricia.
Well, obviously, the home side, Fiji, you know, having the home advantage.
I thought you were going to say, obviously, yeah, PNG, just no bias at all. But
yeah, well, from where I'm standing, It's PNG. They're my favorite. But, you know, the home side, they're a good side too. They have a good coach. But I'm rooting for my team, PNG through and through. I mean, we've come close to qualifying for the World Cup just in 2023. And now 3 years later, we're back fighting for that spot. So let's go PNG.
Yeah, nice. Cynthia, obviously, I know that the Solomons are your team. But who are the big guns in this tournament that are going to be tough to beat?
Well, Sam, I'm not going to say this time because, I'm just going to wait for the results, crossing my fingers and
yes.
All of them there in touch.
But have you got a big gun team that's going to be very tough to beat?
Well, you know, New Zealand has always been a really, really tough team to play against. But like I said, Sam, I'm not going to say which of these teams are my favourite. I'm just going to cross my fingers
and
wishing all of the teams the very best.
Well played, well played.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tini Rau Arona.
The Postman delivers again. And Postman Pat. Remember the cartoon? Yes. Postman Pat?
So had a black and white hat.
A cat, wasn't it?
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's get over to, we'll stick with football actually, and we're going to talk about the OFC Pro League. Round 3 is currently unfolding in Melbourne.
Jim Cardona with the corner, one of the returning players for Vanuatu.
He's had an eye for the spectacular in this competition. Two goals from outside the box, and now one direct from the corner flag.
Kicked in, and the shot! Oh, wonderful strike, Bill Kautak. He came out with a super assist in the previous match, and it's 2-0 Vanuatu United. The fans are into delirium at the home of the Matildas.
Cynthia, what have you got here for us? You know, obviously, Honiara, the Solomon Kings, they were my team. They seem to be doing pretty well in this tournament.
Yes, unfortunately, the team lost to Vanuatu yesterday with a 2-0 defeat. But I guess with their competitions that will follow suit after the FIFA Women's Qualifiers here in Solomon Islands, I believe that they will definitely gain the support from home soil. So I think they're looking forward so much to that. You know, the Facebook's been really filled up with all those support and comments to rally support behind the Solomon King. So definitely that's going to be an advantage for the boys here.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I know they got it was the loss yesterday, was it? Yeah, yesterday. But they've been my favourite team so far and they've been very good to watch, so hopefully they can kick on and get another win. Is it at home next week in round 4?
Yeah, the round 4 is going to be here in the National Stadium. And, of course, I believe that once they get back in for the round 4, hopefully some of the boys that were out due to the injuries will be hop on back. So, yeah.
And what's the buzz around town, around Honiara, you know, hosting these games here, especially the national team coming back home? Surely there's some home ground advantage there.
Yeah, you know, there's been a big talk around here to call upon the authorities, especially in sports, to clarify what fee's going to be for entrance and all that stuff, you know, because everyone's looking forward to watch the game. So National Stadium's going to be filled right to the top by then.
What about the area at the back where I saw the flagpole, that hill sort of grass area? Can anyone just jump in there and just watch from there if they can't get into the stadium?
Yes, Solomon Islands, you know, they love football so much that they can sit anywhere that they can just to watch football. So like the saying goes, no entrance, no problem. They just sit wherever they can to watch the football.
No entrance, no problem. How good is that? Oh, I love that saying. Perfect. So hopefully they do well for their home fans. But Patricia, Hakari, talk to me. What's happening here?
Maravalala, who's had a couple of good chances. Great shape on that. And it finds its way in. A slice of luck involved. Tom was done. One player in the middle was Krishna. He beats one. Oh, what a finish. You must be joking. Carly Albrecht has struck the most wonderful ball into the bottom right-hand corner, and it's 2-0 for Buller FC.
Still winless in this competition, not through a lack of effort, but the results just aren't going their way at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It has been a tough one, honestly. You know, disappointment is an understatement, but it's football. You know, if you don't put your chances away, you don't win. And yeah, it's been unfortunate for the team. They, I think they're still the only team that hasn't recorded a win yet. So yeah, it's been a tough couple of rounds for the boys, and they're playing Tahiti United next on Tuesday. So that's going to be another tough match for them. Back-to-back losses, and yeah, the one against Buller FC yesterday was. Yeah, it was a tough one, and Tahiti's coming up next, and Tahiti will be a tough team to go up against. I'm hoping they get a win somewhere along the way, because, you know, it's round three now. You've got Solomon Islands in round four, and then round five in Fiji before everything gets back to New Zealand. So it's getting towards the business end of the season. So I'm just rooting there for the boys to come out with a win at least.
Well, what do you think you're putting those losses down to? Because from my end, it doesn't look like a lack of effort or skill or ability. It's just some little things just aren't going their way. But what's the general feeling around why they can't get those wins?
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing pro football, it's a different kind of ball game, yeah? Hickory, we're the dominant side back in PNG, but going up against the likes of, you know, international recruits in each of the teams, and I think it's more to do with how the players are finding their footing in the league, that you can see the effort, the determination to win and to play their heart out for their country. It's there. It's just that they're lacking in little things, discipline, and, you know, just keeping things controlled when things get under pressure in the field. I think those are the little things that it's challenging for them.
I guess that's what these tournaments are for. This is where you learn your big lessons to hopefully be better in the future. So hopefully the win is around the corner for them. But that's it for the big bowl for now. We'll refill it next week and keep you informed here on Fresh Off the Field with the must-know stories across the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh Off the Field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, one of the best parts of the show is when my co-hosts bring in an interview from their part of the world. And we're going to hear from you, Patricia, and hear the chat you had with Ramona Padio, the captain of Papua New Guinea's women's national team in football. But before we get to that chat, just for yourself, what did you love about sitting with the skipper of your home country?
Oh, actually, you know, how down to earth she is. I mean, she has been a part of the national team since she was a young girl, and now she's a mom now, going into her 30s, and but she's really down to earth, very quiet person, and that's one thing I love about her.
Yeah,
she speaks in the field through her performance, but outside she's very, very down to it.
I love that about leaders, when you can just hear there's a lot of humility about the way they go about their business. And then they do all their talking on the field. So I absolutely love hearing that. But what did you start off by asking her?
I started off by asking her about how it feels to be the captain of the national team.
I am honored and privileged to lead this team. We know it will be challenging, but we are ready for this.
In 2016, you were part of that team that played in the under 20 World Cup. Since then, it's been over 10 years now, 2026. Your experience then and now coming here to play for the Women's World Cup, how has that been like for you?
Back then in 2016, I was 18. All of us are young. So in that tournament, I learned a lot because there are other countries that gave us challenge in our own soil in PNG, especially the Brazil, the Sweden, and North Korea. So they were very tough and strong. So in that, we have learned a lot from that tournament. For the past how many years we've been playing, we gained more experience and we are ready for the challenge ahead of us.
Third question, the PNG women's team has a lot of history, a lot of legacy in the region from the early 2000s when the former senior women's team have set history come, and then you were part of that history. And now you're creating history again for the country. So for you personally as a player, playing as a young girl, and now you are a senior player, captain in the team, how has that been like for you?
PNG Women's National Team has been winning gold for South Pacific Games. And I was part of the team in 2015, 2019, and 2023. And we are looking for making more history.
Now, what will be the biggest challenge for this tournament?
Our challenge is we came here to win all three games and finish first in our group.
Now, what will be your message as player, as captain, and as a mom to all the young girls who are watching back at home and want to play soccer? What will you say to them?
For our young girls back at home, it's not hard for you to be in the national team. It's just you. Believe in what you are doing. If you want to play, then follow simple instructions and just go to training or join academies so that you can be part of the national team in the future.
What will it mean to you and the team if PNG qualifies for the World Cup?
It would mean a world to us, and to be in the World Cup is a plus for us. We've been working hard for going into the World Cup.
Love it. Absolutely love that. And you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes. And thank you so much, Patricia, for that chat with Ramona Pardio, PNG women's football captain. So appreciate that. Cynthia, we'll hear from you a bit later on in the show. But for now, let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Yes, island hopping. We've talked about some of the biggest stories across the Pacific, but that just skims the surface. So let's see what else is happening in our beautiful part of the world. And the best way to do this is we grab a paddle, jump in the va'a, and go island hopping. Yes, Cynthia, we're going to start with you for our island hop. Have we got some nipple news from your end? Is that what we're going with?
Well, Sam, around the Pacific, you know, there's a lot of sports happening now, but one that has been grabbing attention from around the Pacific nation was the new introduction of Sports Netball Challenge by the Pacific or Sports. This one is going to be the new chapter for Pacific Netball. And, you know, the fantastic news that's been received by some of the Pacific Island nations that will be competing in this Netball Challenge. You know, this interesting, very first Pacific or Sports Netball Challenge is all set down for November 23rd and will run through till 28th this year at the Brisbane's Nissan Arena, hosted by Netball Australia in partnership with the Australian government's through Pacific or Sports program. And I'm sure that this will be truly something special, as this tournament isn't just another competition, you know. And, like, it's a fresh start designed for Pacific-based netball players who haven't got the opportunity to play alongside overseas-based players. But until now, Pacific netball tournaments, you know, usually just featured players who are based overseas. But with this new competition, I know that it will definitely shines the spotlight on other athletes and players within the Pacific Islands themselves in terms of netball.
So just with this netball competition, the Pacific Coast Sports, is this the same one that Samoa won last year?
I think this one is the very first one for this year.
Oh, okay.
And I think, yeah, it's the very first one designed for the Pacific Island countries, including Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Tonga and Cook Islands.
Okay, well, good luck. Of course, I'll be going for Tonga in that one. So hopefully they get the win for that Pacific Oz tournament for netball. But I appreciate that. Patricia, we're going to come to you. I said in the intro, we've got some big news around the coaching appointment, potential appointment for the PNG Chiefs. Have you got some breaking news for us here on Fresh Off the Field?
Yeah, so, well, a lot of names have been thrown in the box for the coaching role of the PNG Chiefs. But this week, the newly appointed general manager of PNG Chiefs, it's no secret that Adrian Lam has, you know, put his hand up for the role, and now Chamas has confirmed that Adrian Lam, as well as the current Kumuls coach Jason Dimitriou, are front runners for that role. Both of them are good coaches with a lot of, you know, history with Papua New Guinea players. Dimitriou has been with PNG Kumuls for a while now, and he's got to know most of the players, the culture here. And I mean, Adrian Lam, it's a no-brainer. He's Papua New Guinea through and through, and with his experience from the NRL to the Kumuls and now being in the UK playing in the Super League, he's a well-experienced coach. So, I mean, either way, we're still going to get a good coach. So we will see how things turn out in the next couple of months, but well, the top two picks for our team is none other than Adrian Lam and Jason Dimitriou. So cat's out of the bag now.
The cat is out of the bag. And for more reports from my end, I guess I'm seeing him more as a player. I loved watching him when I was younger. He was a special talent, halfback ball player, so he understands the game very well. The people of PNG, do they want someone like Adrian Lam in there?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, everyone wants a coach who's part of the culture here, knows the players, someone who can, you know, blend in with the people, especially with the players, and get along well. I think that's what's important. That's what I believe. But we'll take whatever we can get, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's the experience and
Don't take whatever you can get. Do you demand the best of the best? Because PNG is rugby league mad, and the success of that franchise is going to be so important for the people of PNG. So, nah, don't say that. Don't say that you'll get what you get, because you deserve the best. Is that fair to say?
Definitely, Sam. I mean, it's going to be our first season in the league, so we demand the best, and we want to get the best in order to be the best out there.
Absolutely, absolutely, because the NRL trophy will be in PNG in the next 15 years, mark my words. Let's go over to you now, Cynthia. Solomon Islands cricket, it's making a big comeback. Is that word on the streets?
Sam, this is really, really an achievement for, you know, the young generations of Solomon Islands when it comes to cricket. You know, I've just found out that cricket actually was in Solomon Islands long ago during the colonial days, and it was a colonial sport that was introduced here in Solomon Islands decades ago and was once also a popular among older generations too. But however, it was, you know, gone a long time, and now we've been blessed having a Bangladesh national coming to Solomon Islands and introducing again the cricket here in the Solomon Islands. And now the Federation has been rolling out affiliated grassroots programs across schools in Honiara, with the first one being Ben's Creek School here in Solomon Islands. And so, you know, during the orientation that was held last week, there are about 300 students who participated and showed their interest in joining the cricket game. So I know that this will definitely will further the development of cricket in the Solomon Islands, and better still, opening opportunities for our young people as well, and building the future again of cricket in Solomon Islands. So looking forward very much to this. And so far, they've just also successfully registered their organization, their federation, with the National Sports Council for this year. And they've privileged to have some of the well-equipped facilities here to, you know, engage their athletes to practice and train using their facilities. So I'm hoping for the best.
For any of the young children out there, kids out there who might be, you know, deciding if they want to have a crack at cricket or not, why should they play it? Like, what's appealing about playing cricket around them actually, yes, I'm going to have a go at this?
I believe that back in the day, as I've found out from some of the well-known people who've seen this sport of cricket, I know that Solomon Islands can make this in the history books as well, in playing cricket. So I believe that this will definitely be something that the younger generations and the students very much should engage in.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Make sure you do. I loved cricket as a kid, especially backyard cricket. You could play anywhere, especially with a new format around, no, it's not new anymore, but T20. It's such an amazing game to play. And I think the Solomon Islands, man, get amongst it, and you never know where it could take you.
Tune in to Pacific Beat for all the latest news from around the Pacific region. Pacific Beat features interviews with leaders, newsmakers, and the people who make the Pacific beat.
Two unidentified men came out of the gate and straight away started to push me around. Had the door slammed onto my face. What was surprising was that even the police were present there. They did not do anything.
Pacific Beat, weekdays at 6 a.m. and 5 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
But it's my turn now to get on the paddles and have a little paddle around the Pacific. We're going to get head off to the Cook Islands. We've got Jack Debrasini here. So he's of Cook Island heritage. Do you, any of you know Jack Debrasini?
Never heard that name? I guess that's a big name, I guess.
Patricia, have you heard of Jack Debrasini?
No,
if both of you haven't, I better fill everyone else in as well, because he's a rugby union player for the New South Wales Waratahs. He's the 5'8", so like the halfback, like a Nathan Cleary style of position, but for rugby union with the New South Wales Waratahs in the Super Rugby Pacific competition. He was going to retire last year after the Pacifica and First Nations Indigenous team played against the British and Irish Lions, but he decided to go around one more time when he got, I guess, an SOS call from the Waratahs to say, hey, we've got no 5'8", we need you in here, can you please add some experience to our team? And he's been absolutely flying off the bench for them in these last two games. He's honestly been the difference. Every time he's come on, the scoreline's been tight, and at the end of the game, because of his contribution to the game, they've been flogging teams. So hopefully the old bull can still play in a dinner suit, as they like to say. He doesn't like to get tackled. Like that's every 5'8's dream, is making sure that they avoid contact at all costs and just kick, pass, and hopefully score points. But anyway, that's Jack Debrasini. And I had a little interview with him, and just talking about, I think, how happy he is at the moment around just playing and being grateful after probably deciding that he was going to hang them up last year.
Man, I'm with the Cook Islander here, Jack Debrasini. He's playing in a dinner suit at the moment for the Waratahs. Honestly, how does it feel to be out there playing after probably we spoke maybe last year and you said you're going to retire?
Yeah, no, this whole journey the last probably 12 weeks has been quite surreal. I remember we had, not just with you, but a lot of people, that my body was pretty shocked, and I didn't think I'd play this year. So it's credit to the staff of the Waratahs, Tom Carter, Ed Hollis, for getting my body right, being in a position to play footy still back at home. It is a full, pretty surreal moment.
Your job coming on with about 30 minutes to go, is that the job that Dan wants you to play probably this year? Like, you know, to have that impact off the bench and, you know, do your thing out there and find the space, second ball play out there at Lawson Crichton? Is that what he's asked you to do for this year?
Yeah, I think so. At the moment, it's sort of coming on, providing calm, steady head in certain situations in the game. Comfortable coming off the bench, trying to add a bit of energy, a bit of tempo, mainly with my mind, not my legs. But I'm enjoying the role at the moment. We'll see how it expands over the season.
You got some nice touches out there trying to avoid a fair bit of contact there from the big Fijian draw boys. Yeah, what's it like coming up against a side that's just purely Fijian? I know your brother-in-law's Fijian, but those hips and the physicality, what's it like out in the middle?
Yeah, I think it's such a unique team to play because it's so unpredictable, so you can't really prepare for it. And the games are always exciting, and things happen in games against Fiji you would never happen in normal games. I think that's what excites the fans to come watch them. And they were awesome tonight. Their collisions were brutal. That first half gave it to us. A couple of bit balls bounced the wrong way for them. Otherwise, they're probably in a bit of a lead. So they were great tonight in the wet. You can see their handling conditions in the wet is unbelievable still. It's like a bar of soap out there, and they're still offloading. You're just trying to avoid the big hits. I learnt off my brother-in-law. You don't want to run straight at them. It was a really enjoyable game tonight.
Yeah, just for yourself personally, like I know we touched on you were going to retire, but man, you look happy out there. Is that how you're playing? Is that how you feel? Just out, like, just enjoying being out there, just doing your thing?
Yeah, I think because I was so close for it to go, now I'm just super grateful for any opportunity, if that makes sense. Like, training every day, I'm grateful to be able to move freely, I guess, because I was in so much pain last year. So I'm just taking every opportunity that comes. I guess age brings a bit of wisdom and gratitude. So, yeah, very grateful. And to be back at home is probably the main thing. I get to see mum and dad quite frequently now, friends and family, and my wife. We're having our first child on the way, so it's sort of put things in perspective. Rugby's not the be-all end-all, so yeah, life's pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, congrats, mate. And I guess being wise throughout the week, so is that non-contact for you, career savers, captain's
role? Yeah, all of the above. All of the above.
Jack, love your work.
Thank you very much.
Yes, if you've just joined us, that was Jack Debrasini from the New South Wales Waratahs, Cook Island Heritage, who's absolutely flying coming off the bench for the Waratahs in the Super Rugby Pacific competition. I thought I'd just give you another little bonus interview here while I was at the game from last week. This one's from a beast of a player, Samuel Ioane Moananu. He's the hooker for the Waratahs. He won a title with the Crusaders in New Zealand last year, and he made his debut for the Waratahs against the Fijian draw, and he scored 2 tries on debut, and he was definitely very happy after the game.
With the man on debut, you're on there. Man, how did it feel to be out there?
Man, I'm just super grateful, man. Super grateful to be healthy and to be out there with the Waratahs brothers, man. Couldn't ask for anything more. And for the boys to give me 2 new pies on my debut, man, I'll take it.
Yeah, good. Man, a nice surprise as well for your jersey presentation. Yeah. How were the emotions when you had your partner or wife?
Yeah, my partner.
And your partner came over and presented you the jersey.
It was real good, man. Like, just to have someone from home here. Obviously, my teammates are like my family now, but to have someone physical from home, I was like, shed a few tears, and then to get a message from my mum as well. My mum means a lot to me, and she's someone that's been a rock in my life, so very special moment, and I'm very grateful for the Waratahs for setting it up. Yeah.
Then you've won a competition with the Crusaders, you've come over with the Tars, 2 from 2. How's that really feeling, man? Can you feel in those same feelings where you're on a good ride here?
100%, bro, 100%. I can't, like, it's just like how important, like, our camaraderie is, our connections, our culture that we're building here, man. It honestly feels like, you know, we're on the right trajectory, man, and very excited to see how we go this year, man. I feel like we go real far.
Nice. Proud Samoan.
1,000%, man.
Yeah, where are your villages in Samoan?
Mum's from Falise Lalithanga, and my dad's from Tuanai, so real proud Samoan, man. 685 till I die, man.
and to, you know, obviously you play for the Tars, but, you know, a lot of Samoans have gotten the jersey, you know, played at the highest level, but what does it mean to be, you know, part of a long line of Samoans playing at the highest level?
100%, man. It's very special, eh? Like, Waratahs is a club with rich history, and to be a part of this family now, I'm very grateful. I can't stress how much I'm grateful I am to be a part of the family, and so buzzed out, man. Like, and be around everyone is,
man, all of our stuff goes out to the villages and stuff, all our content and radio.
Yeah.
People in Samoa hear this. What's your one final message for all the people of Samoa?
Man, I love my Samoan people, man. Just keep being used, guys, and man, 685 to the world, man.
Love your work, man. I love
appreciate
your work.
It, Mausa.
Yes, a big thank you there to Ioane Moananu, absolute legend of a player, and I wish him all the best for the New South Wales Waratahs in the Super Rugby Pacific competition in the coming weeks. And while we're on the topic of rugby, funding is always the hot topic in the Pacific, and there were somewhat dramatic scenes at the new Legislative Assembly site in Samoa, where the Samoan Prime Minister had a journalist, Pio Sioa, removed for asking questions about the $150 million investment from the Australian government, their funding arrangement for rugby union involving Samoa, Fiji and Tonga. The Australian Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, was also present.
Rugby is a game that we really important to us, but somehow it's been politicized. And that is where we're coming in to clear out all the politicians inside our rugby union, first and foremost. We want the rugby to lead to the hands of the players and the people that loves the rugby the most. We are in the level that Samoa never been before. Because of what? Because of management. So leave it to us. I will make sure I'll sign if everything is sorted out from here. But I have my guarantee to you that Samoa will be part of this fund.
Mr. Prime Minister, can you clarify the for rugby?
In the time of Tuiatua, the rugby was perfect. Remember that. In the time of Tuiatua, look this way. In the time of Tuiatua, politics was involved, but the rugby was perfect. This is my time as a Prime Minister. I need to sort this out. My little
yes, there were some obviously tensions in the room in that press conference, but I guess overall, I feel like it is a clear and positive message from the Prime Minister that, you know, he wants to keep the politics out of rugby union and just let rugby union do the talking, making sure that's all cleaned up, and then make it like New Zealand, make it like the Wallabies, where it is just the rugby doing the talking, all the on-field stuff, and politics is politics where it should be. So hopefully that $150 million goes ahead and it's going to the right places and it improves rugby union across the Pacific. Oh, well, we were just about to throw to Patricia, but she's actually on the bus in Fiji at the moment with the football team over there. So hopefully we can get her back very soon. But just to finish us off here, I just want to have a big shout out there to the sprint king, Pius Whistle. He finished runner-up behind Aussie sensation Gout Gout at a recent meet in Brisbane, running a 10.3 behind Gout Gout's Australian junior record of 10 seconds flat.
A very clean start, very close with Whistle, and we're better on the inside. Like Camagelli, three of Gout in lane one. Here they come, 50 to go. It's getting close. It's closer. Gout's going to take it from the Pius Whistle.
So, mate, he is flying. He is absolutely flying, literally. So hopefully he can keep that up. And that brings us to the end of Island Hopping. So thank you to Patricia and Cynthia. We had a good paddle traveling around the Pacific for plenty of sports news. So thanks for bringing them in.
Nisian Footy Friday. Join Sam and Tini Rao every Friday as they dive into the weekend's footy action and have plenty of laughs along the way. With insights from NRLW powerhouse Sala Tongatuki and Fiji Rugby Union icon Namani Kurundrani, you'll get the inside scoop on Pacifica talent making waves in both rugby league and union. Catch Nisian Footy Fridays at 4 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, let's dive into our second interview with Cynthia. This week, you chatted with Kevin Olia, the president of Honiara Table Tennis. Honestly, can't wait to hear this one. So what was the origins behind this chat?
Yes, Sam, you know, for this coming International Women's Day this year, the Honiara Table Tennis Association, and with the support of Team Up here in Honiara, they've come together with a partnership with some of the women's group here in Solomon Islands, and some of the events, some of the competitions from the Honiara table tennis will definitely be arranged for this coming International Women's Day, especially for the girls with disabilities and the women and girls of Solomon Islands here in Honiara. So I spoke to Kevin and he has more details on this one.
And what did you start off by asking him?
So I asked him because they have recently just did a assessment on the venue where these competitions will be taking place in conjunction with the International Women's Day on the 8th of March. And here's what he have to say.
We have a partner with the Honiara Council of Women together with the Honiara City Council Women's Department. This partnership is very instrumental in seeing the potential of safeguarding in minor events in sports and community gatherings, just to bring that safety is for everyone who participates, for kids, women and young girls. Last year we have we were very delighted to be part of the safeguarding during International Children's Day that was hosted by the Ministry of Women, Children and Family Affairs together with the City Council as the provincial and the local government that is mandated to celebrate such event. This year again, we have the opportunity in working closely with the Honiara Council of Women and Honiara City Council Women Department. Yes, definitely we will be providing safeguarding officers in making sure that the venues and the activities facilitated will also be accessible and inclusive for both kids, women and persons with disabilities. The Ministry of Women, Children, Family Affairs and the Honiara City Council Women, together with other NGOs, partners and the Honiara Council Women, they have the whole program that could be facilitated on a day to celebrate the International Women's Day. That is, we live to give. That's the theme of the this year's event. Mm-hmm. The Smithson Barons together through the Team Up program, we have table tennis sports. We give to gain through sports by involving giving opportunities for young girls and women, even persons with disability. We give them opportunity to play sports, not only play sports, but also we give them opportunity to exercise the right in participation in sports such as table tennis. And that's what we are doing doing over the years through the Team Up Smasden Bergwis program. Not also we also give them opportunity in taking leadership through attending the capacity building of the trainings, and also as a sports development officer, we go around in the community schools and special development center to deliver the sessions. So we are having an hour to mark the day where we have tables there, and we have women and young girls and persons with disability who will come and showcase table tennis skills, and also we have a story to tell. Why table tennis? Why we give to gain through sports such as table tennis? So to us, we wish everyone, young girls, women, and persons with disability in advance, International Women's Day 2026. We are here to give and gain through sports, table tennis.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, and thank you so much, Cynthia, for that chat with Kevin O'Lear, the president of Honiara Table Tennis.
Join Natasha Metten for Sisters Let's Talk, a program that explores the issues that are in the hearts and minds of Pacific women.
Litiana, do you encounter vaccine hesitancy, particularly on social media?
Not much now. In the 2013 EPI coverage survey, we found out that there was a 0.9% of hesitancy.
Sisters Let's Talk, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get over to some of the fun and games in our show, because it wouldn't be a sports show without some healthy competition. So let's do this.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, fresh off the dome. Here we go. Since it's only going to be yourself, Cynthia. Patricia's still on the bus. We can't get her back. She's obviously got to do her duties on the bus, making sure everyone's hydrated and making sure everyone is actually on the bus as well. But I'm just going to ask you the questions and we're going to see how you go. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine.
Yep, so there's three questions here. Obviously, you don't need to use your name as a buzzer because it's just you. You jump in, but at home, of course, you can play along as well. So let's get into question number one. We spoke about Jack Debrasini earlier, and he's been around the rugby scene for a very, very long time. Fun fact, he made his sort of professional top of debut against me. So there you go. And I've known him since he was a kid as well, and I absolutely I went after him in that game too, just to make him know that it's a big boys game. We're not in the little leagues now. So anyway, he's still going. The legs are still on. How old is he? A, 30? B, 32? C, 34? Or D, 40?
Well, I've heard you talked about, you know,
my
him
age.
Having... you've met him and played with him, so I'm guessing that he's probably around 30s. So I'm gonna go with 32.
That is outstanding. Did you just Google him just now? Did you just cheat?
No, I'm not. I
can hear
I'm
the
not.
Mouse clicking. That's why I asked the question.
No, I don't cheat. I don't cheat.
Yeah, no, I actually, you know, I'm never going to put your name and cheating in the same sentence ever again because I know you're very honest. But it is, he's 32. So there you go. You're off to a flying start. That's 1 point. How's your rugby league knowledge?
I'm going to say I'm not really, really good in rugby.
Okay, what about where rugby league is playing this week in a different country?
So I think I'm just going to have a really good guess for this one.
Okay, really good guess. Okay, well, I'll give you a clue anyway if you are struggling. So the NRL kicks off this weekend in Vegas. So this is their round one in Vegas. Can you name one of the teams that are playing, one of the four teams that are playing in Vegas this weekend? There's, I'll give you a clue here. There's a couple of animals, mythical animal, you would have to say. And there's a couple of other, what would you call those? Characters. Medieval characters. There we go. If I'm thinking medieval times, like back in the day where there's kings and queens and wars, it's a chess piece as well. What would be one of the teams if they were the clues that I've just given you? From those clues.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with something that could say knight or...
Yes, yeah, it's the Newcastle Knights, yes. You don't get a point though, but anyway. But it's the Newcastle Knights. They'll be playing against the Cowboys, and the Bulldogs will play against the Dragons in Vegas on Sunday. Perfect. Well, question number three. Do you know who the Matildas are?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew you'd know the Matildas.
Yes, they're my favourites, of course.
They are your favourites. Well, you should be able to get this one then. This should be a very easy question for you. The Matildas are in action this weekend against the Philippines. Which PNG superstar is most likely to line up for the Matildas?
Mary Fowler.
Ah, too easy. Ding, 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 ding. That is outstanding. There you go. Well, that's 2 points. We're going to keep a tally each week, and there you go. You didn't have any competition today, so you've got 2 points to your tally to win a massive prize at the end of the year. So well done. Absolutely fantastic work. Okay, before we go, I've got one last new segment, and it's this.
Player of the Week.
Yes, each week I'm going to tell you about a sports person from across the Pacific. It can be from any country, any sport, or of any ability, but it's our way of finishing with a shout out to someone great from the region. And I just want to shout out to Scholastica Herman's 800 meter short track PNG record. She's gone from strength to strength in the US, clocking a national record time of 2 hours, 16 minutes, 42 seconds. No jokes, not 2 hours. 2 hours to do 800 meters would be very, very, very slow. I'm at 2 minutes, 16 seconds on that one. So she's absolutely killing it over there. But that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to you, Patricia, who would have been with us, but she's not anymore. But to you, Cynthia, who is still on the line, thank you for joining us on Fresh Off the Field.
Thank you so much, Sam, and thank you so much to Patricia as well.
No worries. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region, and this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.